Want to again greet each one of you this morning in our Savior's name. Sam mentioned the missionaries, and we saw pictures here of Chad's this morning. Alyssa has been talking to Vonda this morning and talking about the change of weather in Chiang Mai there in Thailand. I think we probably fuss a little bit here if we got into the mid-40s for a while. We're not used to it. They're used to having 70s in this time of the year, but they have down into the mid-40s. They don't have heat in their houses. They said they can't even go out and start the car and heat up because the car doesn't have a heater in it. So it's good for us to remember our missionaries that are out there that are serving. They don't have all the comforts of home, but yet they continue to serve. I've titled my message this morning, The Object of Our Faith. And that might bring some questions, but I hope as we go through this message this morning, you can understand what I'm trying to show here as the object of our faith. My purpose this morning in talking about the object of our faith is to bring our Savior glory, because He is the object of our faith. We're in a season right now, Christmas season. There's so much that is drawing us away from the real reason. That's not why I put this message together this morning, but I just had to think about that. We are in a time where Christmas is celebrated, but Jesus is left out so many times. And I want us to think about that through this Christmas season. What is the real reason that we worship? The real reason that we celebrate Christmas? Because of the object of our faith, Jesus. My messages have been based on James. James has taken me into Hebrews, so we're going to be in Hebrews again this morning. I'm not trying to get away from the book of James, but so much is said in James about faith, so that's where we're going again this morning, is in Hebrews. And hopefully we can see what the Lord has for us here. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." A verse that we used last time when I talked about faith and the importance of works with faith, a balance that we have, or that we need to have. Faith is the means by which we live and relate to God. I can't look at faith. I can't see faith. We can hunt for faith. There's nowhere we can buy it. We can't see it. We can see the results of it, but we can't see faith. But it's having a confidence or a realization in someone or something. I had to think this morning about going across a bridge. Junior Faith Ann, you enjoy going up to Mackinac Island from time to time. When you go across the Mackinac Bridge, Junior, do you get out and walk underneath the bridge and look, first of all, to see if all those pillars are in place?
I got faith.
You got faith with you. That's a good one. Not all of us have that. That was good. Never thought about that when I thought about you there, Junior, about this whole thing. So Junior doesn't get out. He doesn't go look underneath the bridge to make sure everything is in place. He has confidence. He's got hope he's going to get to the other side. And he's got faith. This bridge has proved itself strong. As he drives across it, he's going to get to the other side because it's a strong bridge, because things are in place. He's got the assurance that he's going to make it to the other side. That is what faith is. Now, we're saved by grace through faith, something we had talked about, but I'd like to again mention that in Ephesians 2. A couple of verses there says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And in reality, when you think about it, and I'm talking about believers and non-believers, we all have a certain sense where we live by faith. One is capital, one is not capital. Maybe we should call it trust. There's a difference between these two faiths. And that is the object of the faith. As a believer, the object of our faith is true. It's solid. It's strong. It will not fail us. And we have a different outcome in our faith. The non-believer has a faith or a confidence or a trust in something, and it's going to be a worldly, earthly outcome. the believer has a faith, a confidence, a trust, a belief, and the outcome is going to be an eternal life. Think about that this morning. All of us believe in something. We have some kind of a belief system. Even the atheist has a belief system. So I guess the question is not this morning whether we have a belief system or not, whether we have a faith or not, but it's in who or what our faith is in. So ask yourself that question this morning. Who or what do I believe in? Many times we say things, but then somebody looks in and sees how we live and it proves itself different. The proof is, if I believe in God, if I have faith, it's going to match up with what I say, if it's true. You can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. We're going to go there here in a bit. But I had to think also about faith and hope, how closely they are related. Now, this example is going to be a weak example. I realize that, but maybe it'll help us understand a little bit of what I'm trying to come across with here. Faith and hope being related close to each other. But let's imagine I'm in the city and I'm driving through the city and I come to a traffic light. The traffic light turns green and I have the right of way to go through. My hope is that the cars on the right and the cars on the left are going to stop. That's what I'm hoping in. But my faith is in that light because that light told me I can go. So I'm putting my trust, maybe I should say, my faith in something mechanical. Something that we can see. And I'm believing that the light is correct, that it's not going to be green on the both sides. I'm hoping it's not green. I'm hoping that the other cars are going to stop. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. If I don't have that hope, most likely I'm not going to move ahead. I'm probably going to hang on just a bit. Even though the light is green, I'm not going to drive out and put myself in that danger. The God of all hope is the object of our faith. So we look at Hebrews 11 and we see all the testimonies. And I would love to go through Hebrews 11. I'd love to take every single one that's mentioned here and go in depth about what happened in their lives. Because there is so much good in the examples that he gives us. Last week we looked at Abraham and the faith that he had in God because he believed God and God counted to him as righteousness. Today I'm not going to spend time looking at Noah much, but I want us to think a little bit about Noah. And I want us to put ourselves into his place. Noah was an old man at this time. I'm not sure how old. But God came to Noah and he told him, I want you to build a boat. There had never been rain. I have no idea how close he was to a body of water. But God told Noah that he's supposed to build a boat. And it wasn't just some ordinary small boat. He asked him to build a large boat, a huge boat. I would love to have measured something off out here on the ball field. I don't know if it would have fit in there or not. But he asked him to build a boat. It was a huge boat. And I can just imagine Noah getting his sons around. And he's got a little plan laid out on the table that he feels like God has given him, telling him, sons, this is what God wants us to build. Are you with me? And the sons say, yeah, Dad, we are with you. Noah begins to get stuff together. He tells his son, one goes this way, one goes the other way. We're getting timber. We're getting hired hands to help us. I have no idea if that's how it happened. I like to think that way. But there's something else that was taking place during this time too. Noah was sharing God's word. Because he was working, because he was following a plan that God had given him, Noah did not stop sharing the word. We can see that in one of the other scriptures. We're not going to go there this morning. But Noah began working. Why didn't Noah move out? Step out in faith to build this boat, even though it looked like one of the stupidest things he could do. Because he knew the object of his faith. Noah knew his God. He had confidence in him because he had never failed him. The object was true. If you've turned to Hebrews 11, let's turn forward a little bit. First of all, to Hebrews 13, verse 7. This is a dangerous verse for a pastor to read, for a preacher to read, but I'm going to. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Here the writer is talking to the Hebrew people, and he's telling them, remember those that have brought you the word. They spoke to you the word of God. And then he tells them, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Maybe he was coming through with, look at how they have lived their lives. If they have walked true, if they have been faithful, follow them. You can look at preachers this morning and you can say, yeah, that's how preachers are supposed to be, and it is. We are supposed to be walking with God and be an example. But I'm going to break this down just a little bit closer this morning. We want to have the author of our faith in our focus and walk with him and worship him and honor him and live for him as preachers. But I'm going to talk to you this morning, dads. We're going to talk to dads first of all. You're leaders in your homes. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is looking at you. You are to walk as an example of the faith. You are to walk and prove to your families that the object of your faith is your Savior. Maybe it's time, dads, that we man up. Talking about myself this morning. Maybe it's time that we man up and be dads. And show this to our families, who our Savior is, who our God is. Lead them. Moms, dad's going a lot. You're at home with your children. Let them see who the object of your faith is. They're watching. I can't stress that enough. All of us have somebody that's watching us. Every one of us. We believe the object of our faith is true because we have examples of those who have testimonies of his faithfulness from the past. Hebrews 11, there's so much. We're going to go there. Just stick with me. There's another verse there in chapter 13, the next verse. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's imagine for a minute that Noah was building this boat. He had everything laid out. They got about halfway through. The walls are up. There's no roof on it. There's no windows in it yet. Here comes God, and he tells Noah, hey, Noah, something happened. I got a different plan. Stop building the boat. I've got faith and confidence that Noah would have still trusted in God. But we serve a God that does not change. We can trust him with everything that we have, with our whole being. Because he's not going to change. He's going to be solid. He always is. The word that he gives us today isn't going to change tomorrow. That word is solid. I may change, but he doesn't. The object of our faith is true. Let's turn in our Bibles. Let's go to Hebrews 11. We're going to go to verse 32. And like I said this morning, I would love to go through and look at, a little bit ago, look at all the different people that he mentions here. But he comes to verse 32. He had mentioned all these different people of faith. Verse 32, then he says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. It just makes me think that God was saying here, you know what, or this writer was saying here, you know what, there is so much that I could tell you, but I don't quite have the time. So I'm just going to tell you here, what more shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Now listen to what all happened. These next verses talk about what happened through them, that God did through them because of their faith, because they knew who their God was. Who through faith subdued or overthrew kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Catch that phrase. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That tells me that they had the opportunity to be delivered, but they did not accept it. They were willing to be tortured. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. They knew the life that was ahead. Can we keep that focus this morning? Can we keep that focus in our life, even though we face trials, we face difficulties? That we don't give up. That we stay strong, because there's going to be a new life for us in the eternity. Stay strong. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Isaiah was sawn in half, is what history tells us. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. That phrase basically means they were too good for this world because of their faith, their confidence in somebody that they believed in. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? But thank the Lord for the plan that He had in place. Because verse 40 tells us a little bit more about that. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They were on the front side of the cross. We have the cross here. They were on the front side of the cross. They were serving God. They were sacrificing, hoping that that would take care of things. And it did to a degree. But Jesus came and He died on the cross. And we're on this side of the cross. He died so the sins from the past, the present, and the future can all be covered by His blood. That was the plan. So that's why He says in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's go on into verse 12, chapter 12 of Hebrews there. I want to read a couple of verses there. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all these patriarchs that we just read about, that stood strong, that were faithful, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's lay aside anything that is hindering us from running this race and running it with confidence. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's so many today that are giving up. We see it all the time. They run for a while and it gets difficult, so they quit. Let's not quit. Let's continue running. There's a prize that we're running towards. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He was the one who started this. He's the one that's going to complete us. For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a beautiful verse. Just again talking about the sureness of our Savior. The solid foundation that we can build on. That is a comfort for us as believers. He told us He went to prepare a place so we can be with Him. And because He is true, because He is faithful, that is true. They mentioned Idella this morning. We've had quite a few deaths here lately. They're experiencing this place that God has prepared. But I want us to think about the other side of it also. But it is a fearful thing for those who are living for themselves, because they're also going to receive a reward. And we need to know about that. We're not trying to build fear in people. But yet it is something to fear. There's an eternal damnation coming for those who choose not to honor God. So how do I grow in my faith? I like to bring some of this stuff right down to just something very, very simple. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. We're going to go to verse 13. Sorry if you hear me sniffling this morning. I'm working through not enjoying my cold. Let's put it this way. Romans 10 verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Then he comes to verse 16. He says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" So that's a sad thing. We think about the fact that not everybody believes. There are some that turn their back. But then he says in verse 17, he says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Am I hearing? We have these little things on the sides of our head that are made to hear with. And we can hear. If somebody talks to me, I can hear. But there's another hearing that I want us to think about. And that is the hearing that we also hear here, but it goes into our hearts. And it changes us. That's the hearing, I believe, that he's talking about. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Naturally we hear, but it goes deeper than that. I'd like to look at a couple of ways for us to grow in faith. And I realize that one of the ways that we grow in faith is when we are tried. I'm hoping, Lord willing, to come back with another message about the trials that we face, trials and temptations that we face because of our faith. I'm hoping to come back with another message that talks about how do our prayers tie in with faith. What about fasting? Where do all these things come together? So this morning, it would be a good place for us to be looking at some of the trials and struggles and troubles that we have, but we're not going to go there this morning. But I want us to think about this morning some of the ways that we can grow in our faith. And these are very, very simple. Some things that I came up with. You can add or take away to this however suits you. But I want us to read through these. And maybe it'll give us a little bit of a push in growing in our faith. Read and study the Word is the first thing that I have listed here. Want to grow in your faith and know God in a more personal way? Then intentionally read the Word. Let's be intentional about it. Let's not haphazardly read the Word. We get busy, and so many times we pick up the Word of God and we read a little bit, we leave and we forget what we read. Dig in. Begin by asking God through His Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word. That's one of the things that I hear so often. I don't understand, so I don't read. But it is very important that we understand what He says in His Word. It can look like a huge and scary task. It's okay to find a translation that helps you to understand. I use the NLT a lot. I also use some other translations. But if the translation that helps you to understand what it means, it's okay. And if you question the translation, talk to somebody else. Ask some advice. But find out what the Scriptures mean. Growing in your faith requires time. I missed one. Find someone that you can ask questions you might have concerning Scripture. Growing in our faith requires time. Be willing to lay aside adequate time for learning and hearing from God. That's a struggle for me. I love to read. I love to study. I love to see what's in Scripture. But to really lay aside the time when I come home from work, I'm tired, but I got a ton of things I can do. But to really carve out that time to read and to study. Many today push to read the Bible in 1 year, and that may be good. And please understand me. Dana has talked about reading the Bible through this year. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. But read it in a way that you can understand. Can I tell you what kind of a heathen I am? I figured maybe there'd be some amens, but there weren't. Can I tell you that I've never read the Bible through from cover to cover? You think I'm a heathen to hear that? I never have. I've never read the Bible through from cover to cover. This is my first year. I'm just about done. But the way that I study is going in and searching out a specific thing. That's how I grow. I am not telling you not to read the Bible through. I'm doing the Bible, reading the Bible through, plus doing my study in this year. I'm doing both of them. It has been an amazing blessing. Dana, it's good. I'm glad you're saying that. I don't want you to think that, stop, don't read the Bible through in a year. It's a very good thing. Some people read it through twice a year. It is a good thing. You see stuff that you've never seen. Now you know about me. But if reading smaller portions will help you to understand what it says, then do so. Take part in a weekly Bible study. Now I only know of one Bible study that's going on at this church right now. Hopefully there's some that I don't know about. But I am open. If you would like to have a Bible study, I will be happy to join you. And I know there's others here that would also. It is so important that we study God's Word. We need to read and study. Pray. Some of the most beautiful prayers I've heard came from those who didn't grow up praying. I've heard some prayers that were so flowery, you want to look around and see where the flowers are growing. But some of the prayers that were the best ones or the most serious ones I've ever heard were those that hardly ever prayed before. They didn't know about praying. It was brand new to them. They didn't have a flowery, intelligent-sounding prayer, but a humble prayer from their heart. Be honest in your prayer. God knows it anyhow. But He wants to hear from you. If there's something you're struggling with Him, tell Him. It's okay to tell God how you're feeling. Thank you for the many blessings you experience every day. Ask Him for direction in your life. Ask Him to forgive your sins. We have many of them. You stop and you start meditating. You start reading the Word. God begins to show you through His Spirit. This has to change. Heed that. Bring it to the cross and allow Him to wash it away. And then believe in His forgiveness. Pray a psalm to Him and meditate on it as you pray. Thank Him often for being your Redeemer, your Savior. Tell Him often you love Him. It's okay, He wants to hear that too. Time spent in prayer is never wasted. Never go through your day without talking to God. And I might add to that, spend time listening. As you pray, spend time also listening. The last one I have here is obey what you understand. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." As we read and understand what we are learning by reading God's word, it is vital that we obey what we know. Ask God to reveal any sins in your life and repent of them. Dig into the word, looking for treasures. The Holy Spirit will help you find them. Some of these treasures are going to be blessings God is giving you in your walk with Him. Some of these treasures are going to be ways He's asking you to live out your faith. Obey what you understand. And pray through what you don't understand, and He will give you understanding. Ask for wisdom. He gives it liberally. I like to read a scripture that I have right after this. This is in the NOT. In James 1:19, it says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Some of these things are ways that we can grow in our faith. I had to think about my relationship with my wife. If I want a relationship that is blooming, a relationship that is open and honest and loving, I cannot come home from work and not talk to her. I can't ignore her. But you know, so many times we do that with Jesus. We're so busy so we don't have time to connect. But when I connect with my wife, when we communicate, when we talk, the longer we're together, the better we get to know each other. And my confidence and my trust grows in her. And it's the same way with Jesus. The more we communicate, the more we talk to Him, the more we understand what He wants of us, the closer that relationship gets. And someday He's going to call us home. And if we walk faithful, there's something we're going to hear. What is it? Well done. You know, I can't wait to hear that. Well done. Come on in. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. But we're not going to get around it, friends. It's either going to be that, or sorry, I never knew you. Something for us to think about. Jesus, the object of our faith. Let's stand this morning for prayer.